Morning, Covenant Church. My name is Elise Robitaille, and just to give you some background, I served Covenant as a ministry program assistant under Brian Bell from 1999 to 2003, as associate pastor under Paul Kiss from 2003 to 2008, and then as lead pastor from September 2008 to January 2015. And now in my retirement, I am happy to still call Covenant home. Covenant holds a very special place in my heart, and so it's quite an honor for me to be able to participate in this anniversary series celebrating our 40 years. Anniversaries like this are opportunities for us to recognize where we've come from, to celebrate and appreciate all the work accomplished, and to acknowledge God's faithfulness to us throughout the years. I'd like to start off by inviting you to join me in a responsive reading of a passage that has become for me what I will call a spiritual marker. It's a passage from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. It's going to show up on the screen here. I will read the bolded part, and I'll invite you to read the unbolded. So here we go. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you lie down. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Write them on the door frames of your houses. Thank you. Now let me tell you a story by way of explanation of why I call this passage a spiritual marker. It was October 1997, a Saturday afternoon as I recall, and I was getting ready to go out for some social event. And as I prepared, I recall having a real, like an unsettled feeling. It was like, you know, I was being prodded or nudged to do something, and I was resisting it. And I distinctly remember saying to God, Lord, if you want me to go to Covenant Church tomorrow, please give me a sign. You see, for the past 3.5 years, I had been on a pretty intense spiritual journey following the death of my husband, Robert. In late 1993, he had been diagnosed with stomach cancer, and all of a sudden, we, along with our 5 children, were just plunged into this chaotic maelstrom of hospital visits and uncertainty and fear and change. Now, we had always been churchgoers. I had accepted Christ as my Savior as a teenager. Robert was a teacher with the French Catholic system. The kids went to Catholic school. But in spite of the faith that we already had, this new crisis that had presented itself in our lives caused us to turn to God with a renewed fervency, pleading with Him for help and for healing and for mercy. And God carried us through that time, even though the outcome wasn't what we had prayed for. Just a month before Robert died in July 1994, he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and he died in peace. Now, don't get me wrong, this was not an easy time. But it was a very profound, very spiritual, very faith-evoking time where I know I felt so close to God. And through this experience of witnessing their dad come to faith, and through the exploration of the questions that came up for them, for my children, such as, you know, where is dad now? Will I see him again? Why did this happen? Through these things, my children too, over the ensuing years, embraced faith in Christ. Now, for sure, this was a good thing. However, it also presented a challenge to me. You see, what my children had just experienced and what they had witnessed about God didn't quite jive with what they were being taught at school and what they were hearing at the church that we were then a part of. And I was convicted that it was my responsibility as a parent to find a church, to find a community where Christ was not just a concept, where he was not just a Sunday thing, where, and this was the criteria that I articulated the criteria. I wanted to find a church where Christ was on people's lips. A place where, as the Deuteronomy passage that we just read urged, a place where people talked about the Lord, where he was part of their comings and their goings and their getting up and their going down, part of their everyday life, where his commandments were on their hearts. Now, I had been eyeing Covenant for a long time. You might say I was lurking on the periphery. I had already attended a season of Bible study at Lori Bell's home. My daughter Valerie that summer had gone to VBS and made one of those nifty toolboxes that we saw in Brian's video last week. And that very October weekend in question, my son Damien was with his good friend John Harrison on a Covenant youth retreat somewhere. But in spite of all this contact, I had been very reticent, very, very shy to take the plunge and make the move to go to a Sunday worship service. Hence my request to God that Saturday in October, Lord, if you want me to go to Covenant, please give me a sign. Well, I kid you not, the prayer is out of my mouth, knock at my door. There's a knock at my door, and who is there but my good friend Ruth Keller, a longtime member of Covenant Church. And she said to me, Elise, I just wanted to come and invite you to church tomorrow. The youth that are on that retreat, Damien, they'll be giving a testimony about the retreat tomorrow. Why don't you come? And it was just the nudge that I needed. And I went, and I did indeed find a church where Christ was on people's lips. That was 23 years ago. The memory of Robert coming to faith, the memory of Ruth's invitation, have become markers or signposts for me on my faith journey. When I recall these events, I am reminded of how God has been faithful to me in the past, and I'm encouraged to trust him with my future. Now, this idea of establishing spiritual markers is not something that I came up with. It's actually something that God instructed the Israelites to do way back when they were taking possession of the promised land. In Joshua 3, we read of an amazing miracle that God performed for his people. In Joshua 3, he causes the Jordan River to stop flowing so that the Israelites can cross over on dry land into the promised land. It was like the parting of the Red Sea, part two, or the sequel. Listen as I read for you now what God then told the Israelites to do. This is from Joshua 4. I'm starting at verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, What do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so Joshua set these stones up as a sign, as a remembrance of what God had accomplished for his people on that day. He set these stones up as a reminder of God's faithfulness. Now we need memorials like this. We need these rocks of remembrance, these spiritual markers, because let's face it, we are forgetful creatures. The word memorial here in Joshua 4 is translated from the Hebrew word zikaron, which means a sign, a symbol, or a marker that evokes remembrance. Zikaron is about remembering the past in such a way that impacts our present and our expectation of the future. It's too easy in the culture that we live in to take God's faithfulness for granted. It's so easy when we run into difficulties to forget times when God has carried us. And it's so easy in our full and fast-paced lives to overlook moments when God has revealed himself, when he's revealed his will, when he's revealed his calling. And that's the beauty of setting up spiritual markers. They help us to recall these divine moments. They help us to remember that God is indeed present and working in our lives, that he does indeed care for us. And these markers then can be an inspiration for us, an inspiration for others, and they can give us hope for the future. Now, God created each of us as unique individuals, and we will each of us have our own unique spiritual markers. The Israelites had these stones of remembrance. For myself, among other things, I have a scripture verse. I have the memory of an invitation. For you, it'd probably be something different altogether. Now, to illustrate this, I have asked a few friends to share with us from their faith stories and talk about some spiritual markers that have been significant for them.
Good morning, Covenant, and happy anniversary. We are glad to be taking part in your 40th anniversary celebrations. And for those of you who don't know us, we are Lyle and Anna Davies of Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. Before moving here, we attended Covenant for 19 years with our children, Andrew and Jesslyn. When we think back to times when God has been faithful to us, we'd have to say that from the beginning, he was upon us. You see, our daughter was born with major heart defects, and we felt that we had no control over the situation and that we really needed help. Anna had noticed the sign at Covenant that said, "We all matter to God." So we decided to go in and check it out. Welcoming, and we ended up going back and finally attending. At the time, Brian and Lori were pastoring, and we remember one time specifically when a group of people came to where we were sitting and laid hands upon us and prayed for Jesslyn's upcoming surgery. It was very encouraging, and God answered those prayers about her surgery, and again 2 years later when she had her second. God worked through many people during those times, and we began to learn that he is a personal and faithful God. And it's not just about going to church, but about being a part of the church as well. I'm happy to report Jesse is now a healthy 25-year-old with no big health issues. Looking back, we can see how God had turned bad into good and how he used her operation to draw us to him.
I think it was when Elise was assistant pastor that she mentioned she'd like to have some help preparing the weekly bulletin. So I decided to see if I could help her out with it. And that volunteer position eventually became a 15-hour paid position, 15-hour a week paid position as her admin assistant. And that's the story of how I had the privilege of working in Covenant's office for several years, which I enjoyed very much. And also an example of how the Lord provides.
During my time at Covenant, I became involved in the drama ministry and eventually ended up leading it. I always felt strongly that God blessed me in this, as I never feared forgetting my lines as I came on stage, and there were people he chose to act with me were always perfect for the role. I do remember once having a very hard time trying to figure out who would be able to play a certain part, and time was getting short. On my way to church, God spoke to me inside my head with the name of someone who had not acted before and whom I hadn't thought of, and I wasn't really sure that this would be within their comfort zone. At church, I asked them anyways. After all, I couldn't go wrong. God had given me the prompt. And sure enough, that person was glad of the opportunity to serve and ended up becoming a member of our acting team. I mention this because it was a vivid example to me that God knows our needs and is always faithful at helping us make the right choices.
As Lal mentioned before, we now live in Cape Breton on Isle Madame, and this is where I grew up. 6 years ago, Covenant gave us a lovely send-off with their prayers and blessings, and the hope that we may be able to minister to the people on this island. And I'm happy to say that the Lord has provided there. We were able to start a Bible study in our home, and shortly after, we began a house church meeting on Sundays. We've grown from originally 5 people to 10 regular attendees. And we'd like to ask that you continue to pray for us as we build relationships with the people around, and that their minds and hearts will be open to the gospel message. Thank you, and may God continue to bless Covenant and each of you. And we do miss you. Bye for now.
Bye.
I was raised in a Christian family by parents who truly loved God a lot. Every day included Bible stories, songs, reading, memory verses, and a lot of prayer. I accepted Jesus into my life when I was about 12 years old, I guess, and became committed to learning as much as I could. Unfortunately, as one gets older sometimes and leaves home, they drift away. I became a nurse and working shift work, Sundays and a lot, and so on. You just kind of drifted away. I guess I compounded that by marrying an unbeliever. So church attendance slid by the wayside. Oddly enough, we returned to church when my husband became good friends with Glenn Robitaille. And we started attending church as a family. Well, my kids are grown now and they're not doing that. But then my husband died very suddenly and unexpectedly. I became a very angry person. I was angry with God for allowing this to happen. And just terrified as to what I was going to do, how I was going to raise 4 kids on my own and, get through life. Gradually, though, and the song Angie sang last week, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God reached out and grabbed me and held me back. And I've been so grateful that he did. So I started attending church again and again started Bible studies and really enjoying the fellowship. And then about 5 years ago, I got cancer, and I decided, ooh, this is pretty scary. I figured the only way I could deal with it this time properly was to just give it to God and let him deal with it, because I didn't know what to do. Well, I'm extremely grateful that I did that, because he's provided all along the way for me. He has held me up. He has encouraged me. He has been with me. He's provided a lot of support from the people around me. And we made it through. The last
thing I wanted to talk about was going into the operating room just a few weeks ago. The song, My Times Are in Thy Hands, was running through my head as they wheeled me in. The surgeon looked at me and he said, "No worries, you're in good hands." I replied, "I know I'm in good hands. I'm in God's hands. And so are you and everybody else in here, because God loves me best." And he just sort of gave me a funny look, and that's the last thing I remember. But it's really wonderful to be able, for all of us, to be able to say that. God loves me best. And I truly believe that he has been so marvelous to me. Recovery still has its ups and downs, of course. But that's the easy part now, really. Because firmly in my heart, Jesus lives. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jolene, and my spiritual marker involves music, and it also involves my sister's funeral. A brief history: my younger sister Naomi and her husband passed away on July 9th, 2013 due to fentanyl poisoning, and it was a very shocking, trying, tragic time for our family. That year we had decided we were going to go visit my family, my parents and my other sister in Alberta in the summer, and we'd kind of picked the end of August. And but when I went to book the tickets, somehow July 10th really jumped out at me, and I didn't know why, but I thought, okay, let's book July 10th. We changed plans and booked it, and then July 9th, the phone call came to say Naomi and Alex had passed away. So we were already booked. We were already packed. We were ready to go to the airport the next day to fly out and be with my family. And I believe that was God providing for us, because of being able to be together that very next day, it provided a lot of comfort for our family and for my parents and my sister as well. While we were at their house, we decided we were going to start planning the funeral. And Naomi was a professional musician, and she actually still had a lot of music left at my parents' house. So I was going through it, and I happened upon a copy of the hymn "It Is Well." But it wasn't just any copy. It was, big key change, big chords, fancy runs, kind of elaborate extended version of "It Is Well." And somehow I decided in that moment that I was going to play it at the funeral so that we could sing "It Is Well" as a congregation. The night before the funeral came, we were at the sanctuary where the funeral was going to be, and for me, it was a very large sanctuary. It was at least a 500-seat sanctuary. Alex's dad thought we should rope off some of the pews because we didn't want people sitting all over and it feeling empty in the space. And I guess I was starting to regret saying I would play "It as well." For those of you that know me, when it comes to playing pieces like that, there's a lot of anxiety for me, a lot of nerves, which creates a lot of shaking, shivering, and I thought, how am I ever going to do this? The day of the funeral came, and we were all surprised. It ended up being that the whole sanctuary was packed to the gills. It was full of people, not only family, there was a lot of family there, but Naomi was, as I said, a professional musician who played for many choirs, played for many students, music students, who taught at the Canadian College of Performing Arts, who played at ballet studios. She was, so all these colleagues and professional musicians ended up showing up and packing the place out. And I started again sort of regretting my decision to play It As Well. I thought, this is too hard. This, why am I doing this? It's too challenging. However, when it came to sitting down at the piano, I felt a full sense of peace. I felt a full sense of God's presence. I felt no nerves. There was actually absolutely no shaking or shivering. So what ended up coming back to me, because where I was sitting on the stage, and because of all the musicians in the congregation, was something that I will never forget. It was the Holy Spirit and God wrapping me in that music of singing It As Well. It was a crappy situation. It was so hurtful and hard, and yet God was wrapping me up in these words and in this music in a way that I could never ever describe in words. It was a moment of sheer peace and knowing God's presence. And there was actually a moment after of complete silence, which I felt God moving and filling the space and filling us as we were grieving and giving us His peace. And so now when I go through moments and have challenging times, I will often hear the chorus of It As Well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And in that moment, I understand that even if it's hard and even if I don't understand it, God is there and He gives us peace that I could never understand.
Well, thanks, Lyle and Anna. Thanks, Anne. Thanks, Jolene, for those testimonies. As you heard said here, spiritual markers can be many things. They can take many shapes. They can be the memory of hands being laid or of God providing an opportunity. They can be a diagnosis and a time of surrender. They can come in the form of a song or the memory of an overwhelming sense of peace during a challenging time. I hope also that you heard in these testimonies how each of these individuals has been strengthened and inspired by recalling these markers. Now, what about you? What spiritual markers have you established in your life? I'd invite you, if you have not already done so, to use the chat section in Zoom or the chat section on YouTube. And just share with the rest of us what one or several of your spiritual markers has been throughout your life. And if you're having a bit of a challenge recalling any, I would encourage you to take the time to reflect and to really establish some. Now, what about Covenant Church? This 40th anniversary is a wonderful opportunity for us to look back and recall some of our spiritual markers as a church. You know, we could talk about so many things. The provision of the physical building that we're in, the paying off of the mortgage, the changes in leadership that we've seen, the dedications and baptisms, the times that we've prayed for one another, supported one another in practical ways, and some of the challenges too. Let's be inspired by these remembrances of God's faithfulness to us from the past. And then let's look forward with great hope and great expectation of what God has yet to do among us in the years to come. I can't wait to see all that He's going to do. Be blessed.